1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 is where we will continue to this morning. Sorry to say tonight, but we're going to continue there tonight also. But actually, we're going to go to chapter 8 tonight, but we'll continue in this same book. 1 Corinthians, biblical worldview, has been our subject for some time, and it's the idea of the whole year that we see life through the lens of the Scripture. And today, as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 17, we're going to answer the question, what does a Christian really look like? Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not be uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you today, praying for your guidance as we look into your word. Father, you know the needs of this congregation. Those who need to be saved, Lord, I pray you'd stir their hearts and draw them to you. But Lord, I know there are other needs. There are those that need strength, comfort, joy, peace. Father, you know the individual needs. I pray you would open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings and provide, Lord, what's needed in every individual life as you see the need. Father, I pray that you speak through me today a message that matters and that will make a difference in the lives of hearers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What does a Christian look like? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a wonderful passage. Amen. What does it mean? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. What does it really mean? When somebody gets saved, what are you supposed to look like? And how are you supposed to live? And Paul answers that question today. You know, as I said before, chapter 7 and 8 are a series of questions that have been asked by Paul, or asked of Paul, by the church at Corinth. And so this question would be something to the effect of, what are we supposed to look like once we're saved? Okay? And with that in mind, the first thing Paul addresses here is the believer's image. How many are concerned about their image? Yeah, some of you are afraid to raise your hands. Yeah. Image has always been important to people. You know, what we look like to others is, and that's why so many styles change. One year it's one thing's popular, and then the fad changes. And I've always wondered, and Beth and I have had this conversation numerous times, I wonder who decides what's cool and what's not. I don't know. Is there somebody somewhere that says, okay, this is the next cool thing? I don't know. If there was, I'd try to influence them, because I'm not always with the next cool thing. You know, if you watch, it's very interesting. Cultures go from long hair to short hair. Back to long hair. I'm talking about guys, right? Then he goes back to short hair. Then he'll go to long hair. And each generation, each group think they're doing something new and different. No, you're not. You know, if you'll watch how it changes through the years. The thing that's popular right now are beards. Hadn't been that long ago, men were supposed to be clean shaven. I don't know why, but that was just the thought process. And now the popular thing seems to be beards, and that's fine. It's good. Sometimes we go in between and we just do mustaches or mustache with goatee. And it's just interesting to watch how fads change and styles change and people decide what's cool and what's not and what is acceptable for you to look like in society. It even gets into the church. The modern church today is pursuing what is perceived as acceptable among the culture today. For example, we change our music. And don't get me wrong, this the subject isn't music, but music has changed through the years, you know? Worship now has lights and bands, and used to, I remember when worship, all there was a piano. Was anything wrong with that? No. Is there anything wrong with adding instruments? Absolutely, that's great. You know, it's wonderful. But it's interesting to watch how patterns change when someone decides that's no longer acceptable. Well, the people in Corinth had that same concept about being religious or being a believer. Okay? They had a preconceived idea of what a Christian was supposed to look like. And the problem was, it was based on what others looked like. Okay? And they had some really good examples. To begin with, the Apostle Paul. Now, there is an example. But when you break the life of Paul down, he was a man that was totally sold out to the Lord, totally dedicated to God, so much so he did not have time for a wife. He didn't want to bother himself with being married and pleasing a wife. He wanted everything that he was to be God-centered. Paul was a man who traveled around to start churches in every city, you know, and as a matter of fact, he got thrown out of most cities. So if you looked at Paul and you said, okay, every believer is supposed to be like Paul, means we abandon everything, we travel around, we get thrown out of cities, right? Doesn't make good sense. They had Aquila and Priscilla. They were good godly examples. They were kicked out of Rome for being Jewish. They become Paul's travel companion. And so if you're not going to be this traveling evangelist to start church everywhere, maybe you should just follow those traveling evangelists around if you want to be a good Christian, right? No. No. You say, Brother Doug, that's kind of silly. But we have that mentality, and Corinth had that mentality in that they're going to ask questions like, what about race? What is you supposed to be racially speaking? If you're a believer, and that's what verses 18 and 19 were dealing with when it says, was anyone called to be circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised, and the other way around. The point was not circumcision. The point was not circumcision. The point was being Jewish. Circumcision was about being Jewish. Now, Jesus was a Jew. Salvation came from the Jews. Doesn't it just make sense that we should become Jewish? If that's who Jesus was? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, Paul said in verse 19, all that doesn't matter, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. You could try to change your image, but you would never really become a Jew. What about employment? Paul goes through the deal with slaves and and as being a slave or not being a slave, it doesn't matter. But the church of Corinth would have looked at it like, if I'm a slave, according to John 8:36, the Son has made me free. And so, since Jesus, I'm free in Jesus, then I shouldn't be a slave. That gives me permission to run away and not fulfill my obligations in being a slave. Paul says, no, no. Paul's point is, your position, your job doesn't make you better or worse as a Christian. You do realize that, right? It doesn't matter what your job is. That does not make you a better or worse Christian. Okay? Even, and I'm going to throw this out there, even if you have to work on Sundays every once in a while. I know there are people that, you know, they work on Sundays. They're not a good Christian. Well, let me just throw this out there. If you can't come to church on Sunday morning, we also have Sunday night service. Amen? Come on Sunday night. If you can't come on Sunday night, come on Wednesday night. We have a wonderful Wednesday night Bible study. You do what you can. But if God has you in a job that for the moment has you working Sunday, don't be overly concerned about it. If He puts you in that position, He can take you out of that position, okay? It doesn't make you any less of a Christian. I mean, they were so consumed by this idea of what it looked like to be a Christian. Some of them were even saying, maybe I don't need to be married. Maybe the believer's bound to Jesus and the church is the bride of Christ and therefore, I don't need to be married. Paul said, no, stay married. And I'll encourage you to read the rest of this chapter maybe this afternoon. But this whole chapter is along that line of changing who you are because of the image you have of what you think a Christian should look like. Now, do not misunderstand me. There are standards in being a believer. There are expectations. God does not expect you to be immoral. He's not okay with that. God expects your faithful service, but these things that often we place emphasis on are not nearly as important as we try to make them be. Which brings us to the believer's walk. What are you supposed to look like? Verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all churches. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's do two phrases. Let's give you a definition of two phrases. It says, as God has distributed. What does that mean? That word distribute means to apportion. Like appoint you a portion, to give you a portion of something. Here's what you need to know. God has given you a portion. Now, whatever that portion is, your portion may be different than my portion. I'm called to preach. Not everybody's called to preach, right? You may be called to be an evangelist. You may be called to be a soul winner. You may, whatever the case is, God has a portion to every individual believer. Okay? He has given you a portion or appointed you to something. Second phrase, as God has called. Now the idea of that phrase is God knowing where you are when He called you. Not only did God give you a gift or gifts or portions, God knew where you were when He called you. Are you a student? God knew that. Are you a factory worker? God knew that when He called you. See, it's the idea of not only did God give you a gift to use, but He knew where you were when He called you. And why is this so important? It's because people have the concept of, well, if I follow Jesus, I'm going to have to just turn my life upside down. God's probably going to make me a missionary. He's going to send me to Africa, and things will never be the same. That's probably not going to happen. See, God knows where you are. He knows where you're working. He knows who your family is. He knows everything about you, and He has made you what you are. Yes, every once in a while, God calls people to preach. He calls people to the mission field. Yes, but that's not the normal rule. And what Satan does is he puts that in people's hearts and makes them, well, I'm afraid, and maybe one of these days when I get everything fixed and just right, I'll become a Christian. You don't get it. God knows exactly what you are. He knows exactly where you are. And if you need to be saved today, don't worry about what you can do, because you can't do it. Right? God knows all that stuff about you. Here's the most likely scenario for your life. Likely as not, God has called you to reach the people who are in your life right now where you are. Where do you work? Doesn't it make sense that God has saved you and placed you to be a witness in the workplace? Amen? Are you a student? Shouldn't you be a witness as a student? The point to the whole thing is this. God made you what you are. As a matter of fact, in Psalms 139:13, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Isn't that a beautiful passage? God did not call you to send you to the other side of the world, most likely, right? God called you, He saved you, and He has equipped you to minister and to serve Him right where you are, as you are. You see, people are very different. I look in this congregation today, I see there are some people who are very well educated. There are other people who graduated only high school, you know? That doesn't make one any better or different than the other. That just means God has given you different opportunities. And we have this vision of what Christians should look like. And like I say, I'm not talking about moral issues. I'm talking about just general appearance of what a Christian should look like. Right? And we even kind of think everybody should conform to this image that we have in our mind. I'll give you an example. When I first surrendered to preach, I was clueless. I was clueless. But when I first surrendered to preach, you know what the first thing, probably the first thing I did was? I bought a suit. Because you couldn't preach without a suit. Every preacher I had ever seen for years, the whole time I was growing up, he would get up in the pulpit on Sunday and he would have his suit and his tie. And if you didn't have a suit and a tie, people would look at you like, "What are you doing up there?" So I got a suit. And it never dawned on me that God didn't care what I was wearing. He didn't. He didn't. As a young preacher, I watched other preachers who began to, and there are some that were good for my ministry, but there were some that were not. I watched other preachers as they began to indoctrinate me with traditions that had no biblical foundation. This is what preachers do. This is what preachers believe. And you know, the things that have been passed down through our churches for years. I'll give you an example. You did not dare clap in church. You remember those days? Ooh, Satan done moved in if you clapped. It's what I was always taught. What I believed, you know. I was this ABA preacher. That's what was expected of me till a church member asked me one time, "Where's it saying in the Bible you're not supposed to do that?" "Well, I don't know, but it's in there." "No, it's not." And I began to discover there are a lot of things that I'd been taught as law that were not commands of the Bible, but passed down as tradition. But I was so interested in being an ABA preacher. As a matter of fact, I was more interested in being an ABA preacher than I was being the unique individual that God had called me to be. You know what I've discovered? I'm not like anybody else. And I'm okay with that. I don't mean that to, you know, as bragging or whatever. I don't. But God made me. Now, I want to live in a manner that honors God. But since God made me, He was very intentional in the way that He made me. And not just me. I think what Christians need to understand today is how, and I hesitate to use this word, but I'm going to use it and I'm going to explain it, how special you are. Not because of you, but because of the way that God has made you as a unique individual. Okay? God doesn't want to do plastic surgery on you or... Yeah, no. God doesn't want you to go to the other side of the world. God has saved you and placed you where you are to make a difference in the lives of the people that are around you, whether it's your family, your friends, your co-workers, wherever you find them. Serve God where you are. Now, I'm not suggesting that a person shouldn't better themselves. They have an opportunity to go to college, increase their education. Good for you. Do it. Do it. Have an opportunity to change jobs and have a better paying job to better provide for your family. Do it. Good for you. But do not look at yourself as someone whom does not have an opportunity to serve the Lord because of what you think you lack. God made you. He has placed you. And He knew what He was doing when He did. Okay? Brings us to the last point. The believer's persistence. Here's what you need to know. In that last, in verse 24, "Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called." What is that saying? Here's what I want you to ask yourself. And I'm going to answer these questions for me, but you've got to answer them for you. Okay? Number one, who am I? Who am I? I mean, really, who am I? Number one, I'm a child of God. Bought, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am owned by God. Okay? As such, being owned by God, He has the right to guide me, lead me, direct me in any direction He wants me to go. Right? What it means. But let's just get down to the basics. I am a child of God. I am a man. I will not apologize for being a man. I'm glad that I am a man. And I will do nothing to compromise my masculinity. Now, mind you, I am a little bit old school, but I want everybody to know I am a man and I'm gonna be a man. You know. And I will not go into great detail on that subject, but you know what I mean. If God made you a man, be a man. be a man. What do I want to be as a man? I want to be the most godly man I can possibly be. I want to be the leader of my home, the spiritual leader of my home. I want people to look at me and be able to say, now, there's a godly man. Not only am I a man, I am a husband. God has given me Beth. I'm very thankful that God has given me Beth. I would not change anything, and I will do nothing to threaten our marriage relationship. You know? That's what it means to be married. It means I'm going to be faithful, right? Amen? Isn't that what marriage is? You know, one man, one woman for a lifetime. So I want to have the best marriage I can possibly have. How do I do that? By loving my wife, loving Beth as Christ loved the church. Now, I will be perfectly honest with you. If you ask me or probably any other man, we fall short. I know that. Okay? But that's what I want to be. That's my goal. Because I'm a husband. I am a father and a grandfather. That means I have influence in the lives of my children and grandchildren. My role as a father and a grandfather is to instruct and influence all the family members that I can, especially my children and my grandchildren. I want to see every one of them saved. And I'll do what I have to do to get them there. God has made me a pastor, teacher of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I'm called to feed the flock over which God has made me overseer. I want to be the best pastor, teacher I can possibly be. I want to feed you so that when you come to church, you leave here knowing you have heard from God. That's my goal. I have no desire to move up any religious ladders, be anything more, anything less. I'm thankful for where God has placed me, and you know, and I'm perfectly happy to be here for years to come. But also I say that with the knowledge if God led somewhere else, I'd certainly want to follow Him. But here's what I just want you to ask yourself, who am I? Who has God made me to be? And what am I supposed to be doing? It's actually pretty simple when you break it down like that. Okay? It's important that I remain faithful in all this list that I just went through. And it's also important that you remain faithful. Okay? And sometimes it's hard to be a godly man in a world that's filled with ungodliness. It is. And if you're a man, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's hard, but listen to me. Stay the course. God has equipped you. He has placed you where you are. Do not give up. Do not give in. Stay the course. Sometimes it's hard to raise children. Ooh, kids can get contrary sometimes, can't they? Oh, but we love them. What's my advice there? God has made you what you are. He has given you the child you have. Yes, sometimes it's hard, but never stop being the parent. You're not called to be the friend. You're called to be the parent who teaches and guides and brings up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And yes, sometimes it's difficult, but stay the course. Don't quit. You see, we live in a world that now has the mentality of, if I don't like it, I'll quit. Or if I'm not happy, I'll do something else. As a believer, there are so many areas that you do not have that option, or God does not intend you to have that option. You're not to quit being a faithful believer. You're not to quit being a faithful servant. You're God's appointed ambassador where you are. Be faithful. You may be the only one that can reach your child. You may be the only one that can reach your grandchildren. You may be the only one that can reach the contrary people that you work with. You may be the only one that can make a difference. Stay the course. Make a difference. You see, here's where we want to go with this, and here's where we want to wind up. In the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. See, sometimes it's a fight. Sometimes the world's screaming at you and they don't appreciate what you've done. And sometimes every direction you look, it's a struggle. But we want to be faithful so that when we come to that point when this life is over, we can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Isn't that what we want to be able to say when this life is through? Oh, listen, my friends. As I was preparing this message, it was convicting to me. But it also reminded me of the church that we have. A church of very different people. Very different, you know, we range in age from a few months old to, I don't know, pretty old. We have a people who like one thing and others like other things. We have people who are very well educated, and we have some that, as I said, have lesser education. But here's what I want you to know. God has made you who you are for a reason. Serve Him. Serve Him where you are. We're these people that always think, if I only, and you can fill in the blank, life would be better. If I only made more money. If I only had a better job, if I only... Just stop. You're where you are for a reason. God has you where He wants you. Now you be faithful in that position. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you've been one of those, I'm going to clean it up one of these days, I'm going to fix it one of these days, and then I will come and ask Jesus to save me. You're fighting a losing battle. You see, none of us can clean anything up. That's God's job through the blood of Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing is, well, the bad thing is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wonderful part is that Jesus Christ died as the sacrifice to take the punishment for our sin. You've done wrong, I've done wrong, but Jesus can make it right. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's you. Okay? No matter who you, what you think you have or have not done, that is you. You could be saved today by simply calling upon Jesus and asking Him to save you. Will you do that? We're going to have a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we praise You for the day. We thank You for Your precious Word and the reminder. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we want to be, what we think we ought to be, we forget to be who we are. And so, Father, today, I pray that You will give us a resolve that we'll be faithful where we are. that we'll love you where we are. We'll serve you where we are. We'll be a witness for you where we are. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord.